from the Northwest, Honorable Khosho. We had an issue about Khosho and Rosho. I've learned the lesson. Welcome, and let me welcome you. I know you are together with your HODs, but I don't want to take over from We also have municipalities, so that is why I'm saying, let's take this 1 minute and say that would also, I welcome them, all the municipalities under the different district municipalities. In other words, they will be able as well to introduce themselves, maybe at the right time. Declare the meeting officially open and immediately indicate that this is a follow-up meeting after a number of engagements with the Northwest. I'm told that from the 2nd to the 7th of May 2021, there was a long week visit to the Northwest. And I think there are also other meetings that followed up, and the last could have been last week or so. So we
recording in progress.
We are pretty sure about what are the that must be engaged and where there are gaps which must be closed. So today, this is progress report by the Northwest, and I'm sure the structure leadership has indicated MIGA, including how municipalities would come in. At what stage? I know that in terms of our program is the presentation by the Northwest, and then presentation by SALGA, their experience of what is happening and what is being done. So those are the two presentations. But I'm saying if there are any whatever issues that MEC Khosho, you'd want them to be closed in terms of, I assume the whole delegation is your delegation. Let me just deal with the logistics. Apologies, the Portfolio Committee Secretary.
Good morning, everybody. These apologies from the Minister and the DG. We are attending the launch of the Local Government Anti-Corruption Forum and the Local Government Ethical Leadership Initiative. The Deputy Minister Nkadi Meng and Deputy Minister Bapela will leave the meeting early, as they will also be joining the launch. Yes, Chairperson. And then with the municipalities, we've asked that they indicate which municipalities they're representing, but on the list, I it's not everybody that indicated which municipality they will be representing. And then Honorable Brink said he will be a few minutes late, but that's all the apologies we've received, and we do form a quorum for the meeting. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, I've indicated the agenda. It's progress report by the Northwest and input by SALGA. Any proposal for adoption of the agenda?
I so propose, Chair.
I move, Chair.
You have all moved, and we can divide that into second. The agenda is adopted, and if there's nothing, then we'll proceed immediately, and then over to Northwest. I think they will also help us as we proceed if there's anything that needs to be clarified in terms of the delegations from municipalities. We welcome all those who have linked up with this program from all the municipalities, from Mujanala and the local municipalities, Ngakamu, Dirimulema and municipalities, Dr. R.S. Mopati and municipalities, Dr. Kenneth Kaunda and municipalities. So formally, we acknowledge your presence. We might not be able to say who, but I'm sure as we proceed, people would be free to introduce themselves. Welcome. Can I hand over to you, Honorable Osho?
Good morning, Chair. My apologies because I was trying to locate the MEC for Cogstar in the province. It looks like she has not yet connected. My sincere apologies to taking time to unmute. Chair, once more, good morning, and good morning to all councillors, executive mayors who are on the platform, members of the portfolio committee, and team administration of the portfolio committee, as well as my colleague. I hope that you will join. So in terms of how we had structured our presentation, the MEC for Cogstar must be the one who comes in to give an overview and hand over to the HOD for Cogstar in the province. And I think she has connected the acting HOD. And then once Cogstar has presented their portion in terms of the whole the entire presentation, then the HOD will hand over to the HOD for Provincial Treasury to then take you through the presentation. That is how the presentation is structured. Hence, I had to locate the MEC for Cogstar. However, if the MEC is not yet connected, maybe we should allow the HOD for Cogstar, Mayor Mamorena, to be the one who takes you through the presentation, because the manner that we structure the presentation, Cogstar must present first to give state of our municipalities that we have raised, which covers a number of municipalities that we discussed the last time in our engagements, Chair. And among those municipalities, Chair, you'll get the report in Ditsobotla, in Mamusa, in Moses Kotane, Makwasi Hills, Mahikeng, Swahili, Kalisana Molopo, and JP Max, a local municipality. And I think with Salga's input, Chair, they'll broadly give also other inputs from their side in terms of the municipalities that are on the platform. So if you allow me, Chair, I would, because I'm not sure whether my colleague has already
connected. Yes, I'm here, Honorable MEC.
Okay, now that she has connected, Chair, let me hand over to the MEC for Cogstar, and then we will do the presentation. Cogstar will start first, and then a provincial treasurer will come after Cogstar. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Welcome, MEC. Mika. You can proceed.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Chair of the session, the chairperson of the portfolio committee, the members of the portfolio committee. Honorable, my colleague MEC Osho and Honorable Mayors and Executive Mayors in the session, the HOD of the Department and the HG of the Treasury. Allow me, Honorable Chair, to deeply apologize that I've been struggling with the network, but I managed to log in by changing gadgets and so forth. But without any waste of time, as honorable question has indicated, I will start by presenting the status of municipalities just at a high level, and my acting HOD will therefore then present the report as we have structured it. Honorable Chair, just to indicate to your good self that as we immediately after inaugurating municipalities, we started experiencing a very serious challenge on about 4 to 5 of them, where there has been a serious challenge of instability. But just to start with Mamusa, as the presentation is, we had to provide support as in the form of Section 154 of the Constitution to Mamusa, simply because we know that Mamusa has been in a very serious financial distress, and it has also been lacking very seriously in the appointment of senior managers, and we therefore had to assist them and appoint provide Section 154 of the support we've got sent. We have sent there the acting municipal manager, and before we also have provided with them the support in terms of the director infrastructure. Generally, we also do have, and I think as the acting HOD will present, will also indicate the support plan that we have for that municipality. In Makwasi Hills, which is one of them that where we had serious challenges of instability, where there was a fight between the leadership of the municipality and the union in that municipality, which to a large extent there is now stability, especially after we also provided them with the support in a form of the acting municipal manager, because they also did not have the acting municipal manager, and the acting municipal manager has been able to then provide a plan on how they are going to then appoint the senior managers. In terms of that municipality, also a support plan has been developed. In Moses Kotane, we must indicate that there has been a challenge in terms of the appointment of Section 79 committees by the first sitting of council. We have been struggling to get that municipality to do what is correct in terms of the appointment of the Section 79 by the municipal council. And to a large extent, there's been a fight on between who must be the chair of the infrastructure committee and who must not, and therefore creates a very serious challenge. We are still working together with that municipality to ensure that legislation is implemented as indicated by the Structures Act in that regard. We also have provided some kind of a support plan that we also are giving to that municipality. What we can report in terms of Mahikeng municipality, Honorable Chair, the very serious challenge was the challenge of service delivery, the very serious challenge of the impact that was not stable, and internal controls. To a large extent, administrative arm of that municipality has been the one that is lacking in terms of implementation of what is correct, but also not leaving out the challenge of an especially water challenge and the challenge on the removal of refuse in the municipality. We also have been in engagement with the administrative arm of that municipality to try to resolve the challenge that they are finding themselves on. We would remember also that this municipality is the one that also was part of the BBS, and we must indicate that to a large extent, consequence management was implemented, wherein the municipal manager was dismissed in terms of that area. Of Swaying local municipality, Honorable Chair, also remember that this is the municipality which when we were closer to elections, we had to dissolve due to the very serious challenges wherein they were fighting for even the tenders to security companies, and there was a very serious instability in that municipality, which then had led to Exco dissolving the municipality. We also had deployed a team in Zwaying local municipality, of which to a certain extent they have been able to do some work in terms of the support that they were deployed to do. And I must also indicate that, and I think Honorable MEC Hosho will then report in terms of how we have also been able to support the financial office of Zwaying local municipality. The support plan is also been put there in terms of what we are doing to assist Zwaying. Pakistan Mulopo, Honorable Chair, must indicate also that this is one of the municipalities where there is serious instability, a very serious challenge in terms of service delivery. To a large extent, the municipal manager of that municipality seems to be more problematic than any other problem we have there. Any other intervention that we seek to also assist that municipality with gets to be challenged and so forth in terms of the court and so forth. But where we are, and as of the current situation, we must indicate that the Exco has resolved to invoke Section 139(1)(b) in that municipality, of which today, as we speak, the municipal council will be sitting at 10 o'clock, where we're supposed to then communicate the decision of Exco in that municipality. But furthermore, we also have resolved to invoke Section 106 B of the Systems Act to ensure that the municipal manager responds to whatever the allegations that are put before us. Managers in municipality. We must indicate that we started by Section 106A, of which the municipal manager did not respond as expected, and therefore that's why we are moving to the other section. In Lekwatemane, Honorable Chair, we must indicate that the serious challenge, and this is a hand municipality, we must indicate, and this is the municipality wherein, to a large extent, there has been issues around the car that has been rented for the mayor there. The allegation is that the car is more expensive and the municipality is unable to provide services to the people. We have requested a report in terms of that issue of the car, and I think as and when we get the attachment, but to a large extent I know that we have not yet received the car despite the report, despite the fact that we had requested the speaker, the mayor, and also the municipal manager to give a report. But I think the acting HOD will indicate whether the municipal manager did give her, but I was still waiting for the report. In Ratlo, Honorable Chair, what we must indicate is that we have been requesting this municipality to present the SIU report to Council, of which the SIU report was implicating, amongst other people, the municipal manager there. We have not been getting much of the positive response from the mayor, and the council of that municipality is now divided into whether the report must be implemented or must not be implemented. We also know that the strategy they were utilizing the municipal council was to ensure that the term of the municipal manager comes to an end before they implement the SIU report. We have written them letters, also even indicating to them that we are aware of that intention, and we are requesting that they implement the SIU report. But we must indicate that to this extent, there has not been the implementation of that of that report. I think if there's anything that I have left out, I think as of David Max, we had requested that the executive mayor should also give a report in terms of consequence management on the issue that was raised in the report that was presented before council. But we know for sure that the managers resigned there, but also the mayor was arrested, and I think and all other who were implicated got arrested in JP Max. And in Matosana, the issue that we also know for sure was a major issue was the issue around the allegations that the mayor appointed security companies outside the council, and we also had requested the speaker to then give us a report on how they have resolved that matter. And I think we will then get, if they are in the platform, because we had not yet received the report as per the request that we have made. I think the report that we only have is that one of Ratlow local municipality, which we can attest that we managed to get hold of. Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. I think then the ethics HOD can then come in terms of the support that we are providing to those municipalities. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. HOD, you can come in.
HOD, I don't know if you are here, if you can come in through your chair. The maybe the municipality that I must also report on as the HOD comes in terms of the support plan is the Dizobotla local municipality. This is one municipality that has always been troublesome since inauguration, Honorable Chair. They have not been able to meet and agree on any compliance matter or any important issues related to service delivery. To a large extent, whatever the council that they met, they had, which is I think one council, if not two, the fight was always around the appointment of the acting municipal manager. And to at a certain point, they even had two acting municipal managers, they even had two speakers and two mayors. We have been trying to engage with that municipality to correct the situation up to the level that we then resolved as EXCO, that municipality should then be dissolved, because as and when we agree with them to go and do the right thing, they get in a municipal council and continue.
Now we can hear the MEC.
We can't
MEC
hear.
Is muted.
MEC is muted. Who can help us? I think it's a network problem.
Then people were mobilized to ask down at the local municipality. So you would also understand, Chair, that at a certain point when Auditor General's official were to start doing the work of auditing in Dizobotla, they got one of the officials was beaten up in the Dizobotla local municipality. The whole issues and the situation of the Dizobotla local municipality, we ended up as EXCO having to then agree that we should really dissolve that municipality, because all directives were not adhered to, no sitting of council up to the stage.
I think Honorable Khosho will also report that we also had to then agree to withhold equitable share due to the situation where in the, there was a fight around the bank account of the municipality and so forth. So where we are sitting with a decision by EXCO to then dissolve the local municipality. Thanks very much, Honorable Chair.
Thank you. HOD. It looks like...
It looks like it's not here.
Yes, it looks like it's not here. So should we move to Treasury?
Yes, we can move to Treasury because the report as presented, it does have pages that then talks to the support plan, which I think honorable members would then see the support plans. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable Khosho.
Thank you very much, Chair, and once more, good morning to all members of the Portfolio Committee. Chair, like I indicated earlier, how we have structured the report, we have structured in a manner that COCTA will present and then we will come after. In terms of our submission share from Treasury side, I'm going to invite the HOD to take us through that report. However, Chair, just to take the areas that MEC Mira had indicated in terms of municipalities that she made mention of. Honorable members must take note that the municipalities that we have mentioned, in particular, Disobotam, Mamusa, and Tuayin, and Makwasi Hills are municipalities that are in financial distress. And if you go into the Constitution in terms of Section 1395 of the Constitution, read together with Chapter 13 of the MFMA, and in Chapter 13 of the MFMA, Section 139 and 140 talks to the financial recovery plan. So these are part of the municipalities that in the country, as honorable members can and note that are well aware or assist with the challenges of 43 municipalities in the country that are in financial distress. And in terms of the 43, 12 of those municipalities are in the Northwest. However, some of these municipalities that we are talking to today are municipalities that are in financial distress. And I will just get quickly into the topic that we've resolved to dissolve, though it's in financial crisis. And that it means municipalities that are in financial distress is municipalities that have continuously in the last 5 years have adopted unfunded budgets providing services to our communities out there. So in this water, we have continuously provided support. We got a joint plan with the COCTA, and we've been to the municipality several times. We've even seconded a team for financial to start to do the assessment in preparation for the financial recovery plan. So with the invocation of Section 139(1)(c) of the Constitution, where it is dissolved, we have then, as Treasury has to ensure that as part of the resolution of EXCO, the financial key components or central components of making sure that we drive the process together with COCTA, whereby financial recovery plan is central to the process, because as much as we have dissolved, we still need to do the financial recovery plan. So issues of financial recovery plan become sacrosanct to that. There are challenges also in Kagisano Molopo, Chair, like what the MEC has indicated in terms of invocation of Section 1391B, whereby it's introduced today at 10 o'clock. There is a lot of instability in Kansas since last week. Even yesterday, the Speaker's house was banned. We got that report. So there are those challenges in terms of Kansas. However, we will be providing that support with the terms of reference that will be developed by COCTA. Because it's not the municipality that is in financial distress. However, from a finance point of view, because we will provide that support because paying fully with on consultants. So everything that they do, they are actually reliant on consultants. And this is what the AG has continuously raised as a going concern in terms of Kagisano Molopo. Makwasi Hills, I know that Proctor has seconded, there is an acting MM. However, we are providing support. We are doing that assessment in terms of the financial challenges that are there. In Swahili, they said that also to cover what the NEC has indicated, we have seconded a team of financial and experts from provincial treasury to start to work on the issue of doing assessment and also go through the issue of a financial recovery plan. Because the 12 municipalities that I'm talking about, it's in its entirety in the province, we already have the resolution of EXCO that they must be under financial recovery plan. And if you go, honorable members, you go into the sections of the Constitution, 1395 of the Constitution, it talks about the mandatory intervention where the recovery plan has to be developed and be implemented. So we are working together with the National Treasury in that respect, in making sure that the financial recovery plan it is implemented. On other municipalities that are on that to be discussed is Mahikeng, Honorable Chair. Mahikeng is one of the municipalities that are in financial distress, Honorable Chair. The council has been briefed as well. The Deputy Minister of Finance, Dr. Masondo, will be, it's a non-delegated municipality. So we need to take them through the induction process so that they assist on the process of the financial recovery plan. Because one of the narratives out there that needs to be corrected, Chair, among councils, especially with the new council, they believe that the financial recovery plan, the mandatory intervention, when you talk about financial recovery plan, takes powers of councils and takes powers of the MM and so forth. Hence, there's that back and forth in finally making sure that financial... Mahikeng will be taken through that process through the Deputy Minister of Finance. I know that they are raising their issues in the corners, but constitutionally, there are processes that needs to be followed in terms of the financial recovery plan. And unfortunately, the reality is that we are now directed by the Constitution that when municipalities are in financial distress, what needs to happen? And then that's where you have the mandatory intervention. And even the mandatory intervention, Chair, we have developed a joint support program with the National Treasury, and as well as myself and my colleague, MEC Mika. We jointly work together in developing that support program for all the 12 municipalities that are facing financial challenges, because the continuous adoption of unfunded budgets has serious implications in terms of providing services to our communities. And we've made all those councils aware of such challenges. So what I will do, I will hand over to the HOD and for the state of finance, and we'll talk also respond to issues of the audit outcomes of the last 5 years. He'll also cover the support program that we are doing, and he'll also run through the process of support programs that we've provided in different municipalities to this end, and also the engagements with our municipalities in respect of making sure that they finally are able to have a credible and cashback budget. Through you, Chair, let me invite the HOD Ntate Kunene to take us through the presentation from the portion of the side of Treasury. That will start from slide 25 in terms of the presentation. Members can just go through the slide 25. I think that's where we'll start.
Okay.
Over to you, HOD. Thanks, Chair.
Thanks.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Members, MEC, DM, colleagues from NCOP, provincial COCTA, and other colleagues who have joined us. Chair, I'm going to be brief, largely because I think MEC has covered about 50% of what is incorporated in our presentation without repeating what she has said. I think it is common cause that we do have obviously serious challenges in our municipality, and part of what has been obviously submitted to the committee has to do with those municipalities that are in financial distress. And we have indicated in that slide which are those municipalities. We have a which looks at some of the areas that are meant to ensure that there is financial sustainability in municipality, which would include but not limited to the following. We have a focus support program on budget and reporting, M-score, revenue, supply chain, asset management, and audit support. And those are the elements that are the foundation of our support plan. We have also, Chair, as part of support to the municipality, looked at how we can progressively improve the audit outcomes of the municipality. And that output in terms of our target, in terms of the strategic plan, and obviously it covers a period of 3 to 5 years. The strategy is developed obviously in line with the 6 national treasury game changers, and we also confirm to the medium-term strategic framework priority. And we have also taken the municipalities through a workshop on the game changers, which we are obviously as part of our support. So I think the what we wanted to indicate is that to the extent that we have a program to deal with the budgets by the municipality, we are giving the status in terms of where we are. However, it's something that we have not allowed, Chair. It's something that we are working on. And I think the adoption of the budget is a council decision. However, there's a process that it has been institutionalized, not only in this province, but nationally, on advising the municipality, taking them through an assessment, giving them feedback on what you consider to be a funded budget. There are areas, Chair and municipality, that notwithstanding the advice that you have provided, they continue to adopt the funded, unfunded budget. And as a consequence of that, it triggered what the MEC has spoken to, which led to financial distress, and it obviously leads to the mandatory. On the UIF, this is the status. However, we do have a program, oversight structures of the ministry to effectively address the UIF. We are also assisting with the establishment on functional disciplinary boards. And these are the support that we are providing, Chair, to all the municipality. Obviously, there would be those municipality where we are much more specific in terms of the areas that I've mentioned. The next area, Chair, is on the audit outcome, where we would obviously be monitoring. Part of it is to help the municipality. We are also building capacity and human cap and gap filling of suitable quality. From time to time, we are also asked to help the municipality in terms of CFOs and other officials that where we can help the municipality in the finance or BTO section. On the financial recovery plan, I think MEC Khosho has covered this, Chair, and I would not want to repeat what she has said. All what I can say is that we are currently undertaking the status quo assessment, and as soon as they have been concluded, we'll be commencing with the preparation of the financial recovery plans.
We do have a strategy around the financial recovery, which hinges on the mandate, which looks at the three phases. The first part is also to rescue the municipality. The second phase would be on the recovery and stabilization. And lastly, we are looking at the sustainability. It can take anything from a year, Chair, to about 2 years. That's what on issues of governance, institutional service delivery, and financial management. We do also have a cross-cutting support to other municipalities as part of our responsibility. We have institutionalized the annual budget and benchmark engagements, which process obviously support our initiatives to help the municipality not to adopt unfunded budget. We have a support around the municipal finance management monitoring and oversight, where we look at the quarterly verification of Section 71 reports. We also have got the targeted support programs, as I've said, on MSCOA and on the on-job training and holding in terms of specific areas of the game changers. We are working together with National Treasury, Provincial COCTA, National COCTA on various initiatives to stabilize the municipality with biasness towards areas of finance and service delivery, so that at least we bring stability and sustainability into our local system. In conclusion, Chair, is that the report should be noted, and the progress that we are recording and the efforts that is being implemented by government to support the municipality and to improve the challenges experienced. And lastly, that there is a progress on the mandatory intervention, largely with the view of developing and implementing the financial recovery plan by the municipality. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you. I'm not sure then, Honorable Osho and Honorable Mega Salga, if there's anything you'd want to say before we skip off from, we move to the next one.
We
agree,
Chair, we can move to Salga.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Honorable, over to you, Salga. I was not given the name.
No, thank you very much, Chair, members of the Portfolio Committee, Mayors, MEC, colleagues. My name is Khumalo Molefe. I am the provincial chairperson of Salga Northwest. I must apologize, Chair. I think I'm the only one whose gadget is not named. I don't know what technology is doing to me today. So I thought I must tender that apology. We will save the portfolio committee time by not repeating what the two MECs largely the report is the same. The issues or challenges of the municipalities in the Northwest are largely cross-cutting, and I'll rush in my presentation to slide 9. Because am I audible, Chair?
Audible.
Thank you very much. The rest of the earlier slides up to 9 are just a repetition, so I'll save the meeting. Most of the challenges of the municipalities in the Northwest are cross-cutting. They range from political instability, political infighting, limited tools of trade, so MPEC, UINF, and W, councils not sitting as per legislated prescripts, councils meeting not correcting, non-attendance and poor discipline by committees within municipalities being ineffective and not fully capacitated. And our view as SALGA is that the root causes of these, amongst others, is lack of accountability, delay in engagement of consultants to prepare AFSs, and largely most of our municipalities, although they have substantive CFOs, are over-dependent on consultants. There's generally poor records management, competent senior managers. So the current administration of councils in the Northwest have inherited what in our assessment as SALGA is a collapsing system. In other words, many of the municipalities inherited by this current administration were already on a downward spiral, and it is posing a challenge for. And then go to slide 11 to say, what are we doing as SALGA in the Northwest? We will report to the portfolio committee that we have concluded portfolio-based induction on all councillors in the Northwest that we have done around May. We did not end there. We also went on to train MPECs on all finance. My apology, Chair. We continued to train the MPECs on all finance legislative regime. We went on to train all portfolio committees on portfolio-based inductions. And those are the interventions that we have. Now, at SALGA Northwest, we identified a loophole, and this is as part of our commitment. This is part of our commitment to ensure that competent senior managers are appointed. And as the PC of SALGA, we resolved to participate on observer and support status in the recruitment of senior managers. So we go through the adverts to check whether they are up to scratch, and we sit in the shortlisting and interviews as observers. And as and when necessary, at all consistent time, we generate reports for the Department of COGSA, so the issues of compliance. There are one, two municipalities that we observed that were not in compliance, and at all material times, we raise such non-compliance with the department so that concomitant actions are taken. Now, coming to what in our view are things that we recommend. One of the things that is a challenge need to improve on in the Northwest is on our relationship as SALGA and the provincial department responsible for local sphere of government, that is COGSA, especially on the areas of interventions. The history of Ngaka Modiri Molema, and that is beyond this term, is that over time when there are interventions in municipality, such interventions or intervening officials lacked the necessary competence and experience to make any improved input in municipalities, and half the time, if not all the time, they exacerbated the situation. We are saying as SALGA, there can be an improvement if we strengthen the communication and the working together between relevant intervening department and EXCO in the Northwest. So that is an area of improvement. What we want to insist on and put it before the portfolio committee is that we believe that it is high time that we introduce standard operating procedures, which say to us, in case of an intervention, what then becomes the role of SALGA as it relates to an insistence on working together on comparing of notes. Half the time, the provincial government will intervene on something that the SALGA were already intervening on capacity building and various areas. The other area that we would want to insist on, and we don't think it must apply to the Northwest only, is that if, for an example, a department intervenes in a municipality and sends an administrator, that administrator must meet the requirements ordinarily similar to requirements of that position. So if you intervene in a municipality, you are sent as an administrator, surely you must be having a similar requirement as an accounting officer or a senior manager would have. Half the time, that is what we left in the history of the Northwest. The second thing that the recruitment of the pool of people who are used as intervention experts and specialists in the municipalities must be open and transparent. And as SALGA, we would want to play a role there to satisfy ourselves that people we send to municipalities are going to make a difference and not exacerbate the situation we are in. We are happy with the interventions made by the two departments. We think that we are collaborating well. There is room for improvement. The last chair is the phenomenon of the abuse of this thing called motions of no confidence. As SALGA Northwest, that when you want to sell land as a municipality, you are required, one, to do a public participation. Two, you are required to get concurrence by National Treasury. But when you are to remove a fellow councillor, no such requirements are attached. For an example, you are not even required to do public participation. And therefore, we think this element must be either in legislation or some regulation be attached so that we bring in a sense of stability, so that before councillors remove one another, which has got a negative impact on service delivery, councillors must do public participation first. That is our submission as SALGA Northwest. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, SALGA. In terms of the program, then, I unless there's any intervention, would now move to discussion by members. I see here a message from Executive Mayor, Councillor Tsolela, MMEC Finance, and Councillor ACFO.
My apology, Chair.
Yes.
That's the Chair of SALGA. My apology. I'm actually at the doctor. I'm getting into consultation, so I'm going to mute and continue to participate. My apology.
Okay. No, it's fine. No, I was just reading messages. Like we have said, would welcome any of the executive mayors who want to say anything. But they can continue to participate after we have taken hands of the and if they have heard the members of parliament and issues. Let me go to members. I see the first hand there is Honorable Groenewald, number one. But the iPhone is Honorable Kabanchaba, that's number two. Number three, Honorable Taeza, number four, Honorable Matumba, and number five, Honorable Brink. Let's take that order. I'll take others that will follow. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, let me start my last. Done, kind of compiled a few questions, so if you'll allow me, quick as possible. Chairperson, I want to start. Thank you, Chair. So I'll start with JB Box. First question, in terms of the Sarafina Stadium, there was a corruption of 43 million that was paid and only a toilet was built. What action has the municipality taken and where are they with that action? In terms of the administration of JB Box, they did not respond on requests from MPAC on documentation. What steps is the mayor taking to make sure that the administration comply when MPAC requests documentation? The municipality's infrastructure is in a state of decay. What steps is the MM and the mayor taking to ensure sustainable infrastructure? And do the municipality have a master plan on infrastructure and maintenance on such? Is there a viable and strategic town planning plan on the table to ensure adequate and sustainable housing within the municipality? What is the progress on the arrested mayor? And then in COVID time, the Potchefstroom Dam recreational facility was identified as an isolation facility. It is a fact that people have been arrested in regard to fraud and upgrading of the facility. How is that money have been paid out without work being done? Do the municipality have a system in place to ensure good oversight of project implementation? And as the MM's responsibility for his duty in the municipality, what steps did he take to ensure better MFMA compliance towards project implementation in the municipality? When will acting position of the MM and directors accountable be appointed? In the JB Box, it is complete of upkeep of the country's heritage. There's more and more evidence that they're being ignored. Sorry, Chair, I just want to check. While the council has its ranked highly skilled and knowledgeable people, they are largely ignored when they share their knowledge in preservation of our heritage. Private groups have taken hands on the trying to preserve the town's history as best as they can, but the department should be burdened with the safekeeping of the town's history and being done on structures. It is not done with the correct procedures. This, for instance, caused the collapse of the Smuts workshop of the Pretoria's Museum and complete disregard for the safety and historical structure that caused, for instance, the burning down of the General's House in the Veld fire. Given the cultural and historical importance of the town like Potchefstroom, what are the steps being taken to stop incidents like the collapse and burning down of historical buildings from happening? What are the contingency plans in the instances where these acts have occurred? Facilities, have you considered the implementation for the instance, for instance, tourists, if they were to be injured while visiting this heritage sites? Do you have a valid license for your dump site? If not, why not? And what steps are being taken to obtain one? Then in terms of RMLM, in terms of the sewage plant in Groot Mariku in 2019, they were promised made to get the plant fixed. We have done a visit on the 14th of September and found that the sewage is leaking out of the dams, contributing to the contamination of scarce fresh water resources. What steps is the mayor and the MM taking to ensure a safe environment? Now of load shedding, we can see that the municipality struggles to get water to the people due to the fact that the municipality cannot get water fast enough into the reservoirs. What action did the municipality take to ensure sustainable water, even through load shedding, and what steps did the MM take to curb water losses? Do the municipality have a maintenance plan in place for the infrastructure, and is it being followed? If not, why not, and what are you doing to address it? You have bylaws to regulate buildings within for the fact to protect necessary infrastructure. What steps is the MM taking to ensure the implementation of the said bylaw? In terms of Matlisana, you have a great amount of water losses in the municipality. What steps is the MM taking to ensure sustainable infrastructure? Do the municipality have a maintenance plan? And if so, what is the extent of being implemented? Due to the fact that the municipality lost its court case of Eskom to address the R1 billion debt to Eskom, what steps is the municipal manager taking to ensure compliance with the illegal dumping bylaw? Do the municipality have a license for its dump site? If not, what steps is the MM and the mayor taking to ensure compliance? In terms of section 116 of the MFMA and 84 of the Systems Act, is the municipality giving notice to the public of the contracts concluded for inspection? The mayor extended the security contract by himself. In terms of what law or authorization did he decide to extend that contract? Is it true that the levy of a unit of Midfall for infrastructure maintenance of such infrastructure and what infrastructure is Midfall responsible for if that is the case? And do the MM and the mayor think it's fair for the taxpayer to pay double tax, once on the water that they buy from Midfall, and then secondly on a basic service that actually should sustain the infrastructure of water triangulation. In terms of Mokwasi Hills, Pokta deployed an acting response that was suspended by the Capricorn District Municipality. Who in the department is his cater ensuring that he gets deployed as an MM again? Why is the municipality having its council meetings at the game lodge, of which that game lodge has transaction with millions with the president of South Africa through buying Amatoli cows through the Pala farm? Do the municipality have asset register? If not, why not? And do the municipality comply with MSCOA? The municipality's stormwater system is in great care of road infrastructure of the town. SANRAL had to assist to get the infrastructure for the town in condition that is drivable. But what actions the municipality taken already to ensure that this road can be protected by stormwater infrastructure that collapsed? And then in terms of RCLO, there were SIU investigations RCLO conducted during the inception of the implementation of Section 1391B. Did you receive an SIU report from RCLO? If so, why didn't you report the matter in this meeting? And what report was this findings being tabled in council? If not, when will it be tabled? Then, Chairperson, I just want to conclude. I do have a lot more questions, but I'll save it for later. Salga made a great presentation, Honourable Chair. And if we can summarize it to say that by councillors acting in contravention of the code of conduct, bad reports keeping and not sustainable administration, Chairperson, I cannot see how you're going to fight corruption.
Hello.
Well, the chair is not back, then let
Hello.
Me ask one question more from JB Marks. JB Marks, in terms of Ventersdorp, there's a hell of a lot of water. What are your actions assisting in this? Then, Chair, I'm done and I thank you.
Good morning, colleagues. It looks like the Chair has a connectivity challenge. Can we please go to the next speaker who was noted by the Chair?
Okay, thank you.
Honorable Baba.
Yes, ma. Thank you, Chair.
Good morning to the colleagues and welcome to the all the chairperson. In the issue of Mamusa, the council was divided. The process followed in the appointment of an acting MM, which means it was not appropriate. Appointment of a neutral person, technically, the municipality has appointed two acting MM without following a proper process. Okay, which means, comrade honorable chairperson, I think the municipality must clarify, must tell us as a committee why they were appointing two MM and the process was not followed proper procedures. Another thing, chairperson, which I won't be lololo, but I'll be going to SALGA. SALGA presentation says the council meeting are not correcting. My question says, if the council meeting, how are they going to deal with issues of service delivery? And also, chairperson, SALGA, what is the measures and the alternative and the what is the measures alternative SALGA put in place to make sure that these council meetings are correcting if they are serious about the service delivery in the Northwest? I think, chairperson, we must not play about the life of the people in Northwest. The Northwest, all the time, there are issues. There are fighting. There are many of sorts of things that are not supposed to be in the council, in the municipality. What is happening in Northwest? A cocktail in Northwest must tell us which mechanism they are putting in place to deal with this issue of Northwest. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Saba. I think now we can go to the third speaker. I'm not sure who the chair has voted as the third speaker. So let's take Honorable Kaiser, and then we'll be followed by Madumba, Honorable Kaiser.
No, thank you very much, Chair. Let me start here, Chair, very quickly. We don't see how proposed changes are going to yield any result. The amount of factionalism within the ruling party in that province. That we must say it outright. Because, Chair, 2016-2017, in terms of Dr. Ruth's district, there is qualified audits there. Just to start them, we spoke about Mamusa, 11 conservative disclaimers, opinions for its audit, did not have a proper records management. At that time,
when we started here in the committee, the meeting was at 7 o'clock. We knocked off at 10 o'clock. And then we discussed issues of most severe political infighting at that time, aggravated by service delivery protests, affecting audit processes, admin and leadership. Let me just bring them closer. Administrators Administrators received numerous threats. This is Mamusa, was prevented access to municipal buildings by a protester. Since that time, because we are sitting here with the same issues that we discussed at that time. I think it was 2019, 2020, and them saying here that they are talking about unfunded budgets. We are working on it. Until when? And then they go on. They talk about the time frames that we will have a year to 2 years, kicking the goalpost again. When are these? Are we going to be sitting here 2 years and to discuss the same issues? What is it that is that? And then, Chair, the other issue is that we do not see that there will be positive outcomes if division of revenue formulae is not amended. There, treasury, in order for them to, provincial treasury, I might say, in order for them to realize this financial sustainability that they are talking about, they would have to speak the same language, all of them, together with National Treasury in terms of amendments of those. And then they go on, they must go on to chapter 11 of the MFMA. And profit is a result of what the municipalities are facing currently. And if we're genuine in talking about financial sustainability, the sustainability of municipalities, and all sorts of issues that we have outlined here, we are going to have to be in one page in terms of what happens. Then, Chair, there is a problem that I raised, the last time. Clean of failed municipal managers. You find someone is implicated here in this particular report. That the first thing, he resigns. And then you find municipal managers that have failed in municipalities as recycled in terms of being administrators in municipalities that are put under section 139 provincial intervention. Oh, intervention. How much of your of the results from the time that we've seen the intervention, how much of the results have been, before we talk about sustainability, how much of the results that up to date that have yielded results there? And Mamusa, we went there, there were by-elections there, and the chair is not inviting. You can imagine for the people that are staying there. So you see that people are deliberately neglected and put in those places so that they can die there. When you go to the Constitution, section 152D of the project, of the objects of local government, you don't see this being implemented, meaning that the province is violating the constitution. So what happens there? What are the chapter 9? When a province or a Department of Human Settlement or COGSTA actually violates the constitution, what is consequence management, and how far is that investigation, and who are the people held liable for these things? Because every time we are talking about these matters and we are not seeing the outcomes, and then we see this goalpost kicking, Chair. We are not happening because they really, we have a vacuum of proper leadership in that province. We've seen it with the national intervention section 100 of the constitution. So we're really not surprised in terms of that. We're not expecting much too, because we have been talking, and now today we're still talking and kicking the goalpost to 2 years. It's embarrassing. In Likwati Emani, we even spoke about 1.2 million to consultants. This issue has been said by the Auditor General over and over and over again. And there's no recovery plan for money that has been, in fact, there is no value for money, because those financial statements are not done. So you've got a myriad of issues from Mamusa to Dr. Ruth, to Greater Taung. They are here, Chair. Ruth Sikhomoti Mumpadi, and all of those issues speak to the inability of municipalities to deliver services, either because of factionalism. And how do you explain 2 MMs, Chair? How do you explain 2 CFOs? What is that? We need not ask what is happening. It's clear what is happening. What is happening there is factionalism. It's uncontrollable ambitions. It's unprincipled leadership. It's self-seeking leadership. It's leadership that will do everything for self rather than for the people, because they are chasing the tenders. They are chasing the supply chain management. They are chasing the external service provider that are connected to them. They are not chasing service delivery, because if this was the case, we would have seen from 2019 up until now what is the outcome of those interventions. Thank you, Chair.
I thought the acting chair would continue. Okay, over to you.
My apologies, Chair. I just wanted to brief you that we had the first speaker, and the second speaker was Honorable Kaba. The third speaker now was Honorable Feza. So we're going to Honorable Matumba, and followed by Honorable Brink and Honorable Bumza. So that's the order that we acted on, Chair. You can now continue with sharing. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, let's allow the next speaker.
Morning, Chair, and thanks for this opportunity. Chair, what we are faced with here, I will start by the issue of gangsters in council. I think we need to zoom into this issue, because even in the last meetings we have, workshop with Salga, some municipalities raised the same issue that we are watched in council and given mandate by gangsters who knock in our doors if we are to take decisions contrary to what we are given. So we can't be having this situation of gangsters, and as parliament we do nothing. I think there must be a thorough report on what do they really mean by gangsters. Is this matter reported to police? Because we must have what is done, or how do they want to be assisted in the matter of gangsters. Chair, we have always said in this forum that there is a serious challenge of consequences management when it comes to politicians. Municipalities and departments always act on management and leave politicians. And through this, politicians now think these municipalities owe them something. They think they have powers to do as they please. I mean, what is this thing of having municipalities being logged, bouncers being hired? I mean, it's something else. So what we have here, like what Honorable Teresa said, we are having a political instability. Now, Salga, we want your report to be clear, because you can't say there is political instability and political infighting. No, that report is not clear. It must be clear, political infighting of which political organization, so that as leaders we can attend it. Because we know that you do not want to write that there is ANC political instability. That must be solved politically outside those municipalities. Because those comrades, if they are led somewhere outside and they are deployees of a political party, that political party must take action against its deployees. Because when you say council sitting not reaching quorum, not reaching quorum because of political infighting and political instability, it must give us which political party so that we go and attend to the councillors that we have deployed to council. It cannot be. If management, part of management and administrators are to miss days at work, you act. But councillors can do as they please. So even these solutions you are coming with, they are not going to assist with nothing. What we are raising here, it's a political problem that requires political solutions. Without political solutions, this one is not going to be solved. I mean, some committees within municipalities are ineffective and not fully capacitated. You can do as many workshops as you can. You can have a workshop to solve political attitudes. It can be. It can only be solved by politicians, by political parties outside, because these people are deployed by them. They know there is nothing that the municipality is going to do because we are deployed outside the municipality. So that's the thing. Now, I go to try in local municipalities. There's civic there. You are saying civic. There's a civic group that is giving you problem with long list of service delivery issues. And they want to remove mayor like that. So what you are actually telling us is that the mayor is no longer the leader of the community, because mayor should have been the one who is at the forefront of everything in the community. Now, if civic can manage to turn the community against the mayor, it means that that's another political problem. So what Northwest brought us here boils down to one thing. There is political instability that require political solution. Then if there is political stability, that's when these committees will do their they will do their oversight, MPEC will do its work. But If we don't have that, there's nothing that can be done. So Salga, be clear, political instability is caused by a political party, not an individual. So that political party must go and solve its issues, and that political party is messing up the municipality. Thanks.
Thank you. Can we now allow Honorable Brink? Whilst Honorable Brink is coming in, I see I've noted the message from Honorable Bapela saying you will leave at 10:30. The apology was given. Honorable Brink.
Thanks very much, Chair. Please permit me to keep my camera off because of the problems caused by load shedding. I think the internet is not what it should be. Can you hear me, Chair?
Yes, I can. I also have the same problem. That's
okay,
why
thanks.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Chair. I only have two questions. The first is in response to the presentation by Salga, noting their concern about the continuous motions of no confidence. What is Salga's proposal to deal with the situation? Do they think we need legislative reform? And what should that be? Please inform the committee so that we can start applying our minds to it. It's a very sincere request, because I agree that that these motions of no confidence cause needless instability, but you still do need to give the council a remedy when the political leadership basically loses the confidence of the council. So it's going to be an issue of placing limitations on motions of no confidence. Then secondly, Chair, question to COGTA National in light of what was presented here. Also in light of what my colleagues have mentioned about the recycling of poorly performing municipal officials. One of the previous regulations under the Systems Act before the Systems Amendment Act of 2011 was declared unconstitutional was the requirement that senior managers who resign after disciplinary proceedings are commenced against them, as well as senior managers who are dismissed for misconduct, need to be effectively blacklisted by the Minister of COGTA. But when the 2011 Amendment Act was struck down, those regulations were also struck down. And so since that invalidation, the minister hasn't been keeping track of these officials, updating the so-called blacklist. I just want to know from National COGTA, are we close to promulgating or re-promulgating those regulations, as well as other regulations that were under the 2011 Amendment Act, now that the 2021 Amendment Act has been signed into law by the President? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honorable, the next one is Honorable Mbumza. Honorable Mbumza.
Thanks, Chairperson. And good morning to show the MECs, my colleagues, honorable members. Chair, let's welcome the report by the two MECs and their officials. Chair, in this report, from the very first, the first slide, by provincial treasury and COGTA, it indicates that it's very distressing. That one over a period of 5 financial years, municipalities have been adopting an unfunded budget to run their own municipalities. secondly, that we are being informed that even by both Sangha, that political instability, infighting, and poor discipline, while treasury relates to the quality of leadership that is questionable. My question, therefore, is that the MEC for COGTA and Treasury, as leaders of the departments that are providing support to these municipalities, what is it that they have done to diffuse the political instability obtaining in the municipalities at that particular time? Chair, when we were there, we were presented with a very awkward situation wherein, in the oversight meeting that we had in Northwest, we had municipalities that had two municipal managers, two mayors, two speakers, like Tswaying and Kipusobok and many others. And what was strange is that you couldn't get a sense that the provincial ESCO was committed in diffusing and addressing that particular situation. What is it that is making the leadership to be tolerant of ill discipline by councillors, deliberating the functioning of the councils through infighting? Why is it that the leadership of the province is unable to read riot act to those councillors who are misbehaving, while this thing is also provided for in the code of conduct, in the Municipal Structures Act? Why is it that we're not invoking that and disciplining those councillors so that there is stability in the councillors? The second say is that around this question of unfunded budgets, Treasury not being able to review those draft budgets and intervene accordingly? Are we being told that now, despite the intervention by Treasury in reviewing those budgets that were unfunded, so those councils, they actually defied the provincial treasurer and went on to adopt those budgets unfunded as they were? Can we be assured now that in the Northwest, after the local government election of the 1st of November, we do not have now a situation of obtaining the municipalities, a situation of two mayors or two municipal managers currently? Has that been addressed completely? The other one, Chair, is that we, in this report, we find that municipalities have been unstable for a long time, not only politically, but also administratively. That way we are getting municipalities fighting about an acting municipal manager. And at some time, like Masosana, you find that for a long time, this municipality has not been heading the municipal manager and the ACFU. Why is this situation being allowed? Where has been COGTA provincially in providing that support and addressing this situation? Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Direko.
Thank you, Chair. I've got a lot of questions, but I'm really discouraged because I feel that asking those questions will be a fruitless exercise. Looking at the presentation that has just been presented to us, now one could pick up that there's no hope of this municipality getting better. Most of the issues that we have faced are still not yet addressed, even after local government elections. We still have instability in municipalities. We still have municipalities that are adopting unfunded budgets. We have dysfunctional councils. all those things that were raised by them, they are still here. And it looks like there's no improvement. So I want to check with the department and all the relevant stakeholders who are providing support to the municipality. Can they confidently give us assurance that things will be better in this municipality? And we want their honest opinion. And if there's no hope of things getting better in that municipality, what could be the possible solution to those challenges? You look at the municipalities where the council is unable to present SIU reports. And what does that mean to you? What does that mean to COCTA and Treasury, where the municipalities decide that you are not going to do this report, you are not going to present this report to council? Whereas there are legislations that we have put in place so that each and every entity and each and every council committee has a responsibility. And you also look at Kahisano, where the report indicates that only 12 councillors who are working out of 29 councils. So where is COCTA in that regard? Where is the MEC of COCTA? Because I think the new amendment act that we just adopted now, it's clear that if councillors are not doing their work, then the MEC of COCTA must intervene. If it means that those kinds of particular councillors should be removed in the role of being councillors, that should be. So I believe that we have these challenges. They need all of us, and they also need a willingness from all the stakeholders. But we can't hold our people at ransom because of the people who decide that they are not going to do what they are expected to do. So, Chair, I feel that asking questions will not assist. We just want to get a clear indication as to are the relevant stakeholders winning on this intervention.
Honorable Spies.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Chair, Honorable Dereko actually made sure that he captured what I wanted to say, because there's just no point, Chair. This is just my comment. We've been to that municipality. We know how we've even been welcomed or not welcomed, and you know, the situation has not changed after we've been there, really. It's sad. But Chair, there's just basically two things, and I think Honorable Matumba was very upfront about it, because it must also be said, those political employees must be dealt with, that public representatives in that municipality, by their party. And that is it. The total leadership instability and the lack of consequence management is at the core of it, and that's from both the administration and the political leadership. And colleagues have said it. What councillors are not even meeting their primary responsibility of attending a council meeting? And the code of conduct for councillors is very clear. So surely some of those councillors should have been long gone if they were not attending council meetings with or without apologies. They cannot renege on their duties like that. So, Chair, that is where we at. We are wasting this. They are actually wasting our time. And we should actually pick a very strong line in terms of how we're going to deal with these municipalities that perpetuate the same pattern and come back to us. And then we must accept what they say, and then we must try to engage in conversation. But the conversations and the discussions that we engage in brings us nowhere, because it doesn't change the situation on the ground. It doesn't change the situation for the people of that particular municipalities. So I'm disheartened, Chair, but that's where we're at. And I think the narrative was right through by all the honorable members that this is a situation that is not changing. There needs to be a different approach to how we're going to handle the Northwest. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I am not sure if the hand of Honorable Groenewald, is it an old hand?
No, Chairperson, I asked on the group as well if you can allow me to just touch on something more.
Touch on it.
Thank you, Chairperson. Jefferson, firstly, I must remind the mayors that's on this meeting that if you lie in this meeting, that there is consequences. So I want then specifically want to ask the mayor of Lekwatsamani if his family has any contracts with the municipality. And then, Chairperson, in terms of Matlosana and Midval, the Matlosana have a Midval committee. Midval is an NPC that provides water to the area. And in terms of its MRI, it's compiled with people from the municipality, and therefore the municipality has a committee called the Midval Committee. And those people are also represented then on the board of Midval. Why is it that then that the mayor of the 2011-2016 term still is at the board of Midval, and all of those people that was appointed in that term is still on that board? And I asked this question because Midval applied to the province for a 200 billion rand project to provide water. And it's shaky if those people is still on the board and it hasn't been replaced by the previous term or the new one for representing the municipality on that board. I cannot see how the mayor, Mike Howe, at that time still represents the municipalities today in terms of the MOI. And then, Chairperson, the last thing I want to ask is specifically to the MEC of Cocteau and the province. I've applied with a PIA application for the open waters report. They declined giving it to me. So, and Chair, I do have the summary of it, and I want to just give a feedback on some of this. There's criminal proceedings being advised in terms of contracts, in terms of electric supply of electrical equipment, water reading and so forth, supply chain processes, mostly civil proceedings to get the money back that they've lost. And the municipality do need those. Currently, there's petrol being, can I say, thrown into ANC cadres' cars at that time. And I'm speaking about 2013 and 2015. And this report was in front of the EXCO already in 2015. Is it then, MEC, that you do not want to give this report to me as Sefra Makhaha, the HOD in your current department, is implicated in this report because he was the administrator of Matlosana just as the MM left that was on, going to say, in terms of this case, it was Motsemi. So, MEC, is it true that you do not want to give this report to me because your HOD is implicated in this report? Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Teza, is that an old hand?
No, Chair, certainly not an old hand. Chair, thank you again for the opportunity. Section 34, right up to section 44 of the MFNAs. Let me read it so that we're clear. The national and provincial governments must by agreement assist municipalities in building capacity of municipalities for efficient, effective, and transparent financial management. It will go on like that to subsection 2 to identify to support municipalities to identify and resolve financial problems. And then it will go to subsection 3 when performing its function in terms of section 155(6) of the Constitution. A provincial government must share with the municipality the result of its monitoring to the extent that those results may assist the municipalities in improving its financial management. Must, upon detecting any emerging or impending financial problems in municipalities, alert municipality to those problems and assist municipality to avert and resolve financial problems. So what we should be getting here is a status of improvement of capacity of those municipalities, and the how question must then be answered and not responded to, because there's a difference between that response that you give for the sake of malicious compliance and the clear answer that our people are waiting for. Because we need a municipality, an ideal municipality, that actually has quality leadership to comply. And I think it's section 27 that talks about compliance of the MFMA. And we don't see, Chair, the seriousness from Northwest to actually curtail and improve on these matters, as it were. And because, Chair, I said in the beginning, we met with Northwest a long time ago. That meeting was at 7, it knocked off at 10. We were speaking on the matters. And we spoke about issues of water and sanitation in Freiburg. We spoke to the issues of water and sanitation that are affecting Huhudi Township in Freiburg, a suburb, and Rosendahl Farm. And we would like to know, to get a sense, Chair, of the improvements that have been gained from that time, because it was a long time ago to talk about those things. Because on my own, I wouldn't wake up, I wouldn't have a clear conscience, Chair, going to work, and the only thing I report is political instability. You know, I come to the committee and be a crybaby, and not as a leadership provide solutions. What are the solutions, scientifically, you know, in terms of that? Not kicking the goalpost. There's no scientific evidence that would say that by that time you would have completed, because currently we are still talking on those matters. What is the scientific evidence that points at those that 1 to 2 years positive results? If we do not have a proper funding system that says that does not assume that those municipalities will be able to collect own revenue, when our people who reside in those communities, black and white, colored and Indian, everybody is still waiting for the answer towards a service delivery. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I skipped the Honorable Banchaba. I'm sure it was because when I got cut, I no longer see the hand, but if she's around, I'm allowing her to speak. While
she already spoke.
She has already spoken. Oh, okay. So it was an old hand. Okay. I suspect that then let's allow responses. The coordination of it would be left to the MEC. I think Salga would then come after the responses from the Northwest Provincial Government. Over to you.
Okay, no, thanks very much, Honorable. So maybe I must start with those questions that pointing to Northwest Provincial Government. I think that on the issue of Mamusa having appointed two MMs It might be something of the past, but we must indicate that as we have reported, we have provided a support in Mamusa local municipality, and there's only one acting municipal manager there who is currently running the administration of Mamusa. Now, the issues that are pointing to political instability, I think honorable members would understand that to a large extent, and at least now that the legislation has been amended, it would then assist us. But we have not been having the legislation that assists us to directly get into a municipality except to then invoke a section of the constitution that seeks to then take over the administration or the governance part of that municipality, which would be your section 1391B. And if situations are worse, then it obviously would take us to 1391C, as we have been doing. But we must also indicate that this issue of political instability is actually starting now, I think, around your municipalities of 2016 and now. We know that they might have been there around the councils of 2011, but they have not been live, because if you look at that kind of instability, it would be a situation where other councillors of a certain political party then connives with the other councillors of the other political party. And that on its own then exacerbates the situation which we are seeing currently in municipalities, which then needs to be addressed politically, obviously by political leaders. And I think honorable members have indicated that then there's got to be specifications so that leaders of political parties must then know that they're supposed to attend to what we can indicate. For an example, in Ditsobotla local municipality, where we have been struggling to a large extent to get that municipality stable, connivance would obviously, it has always been between the councillors of the ANC and those of the economic freedom fighter. So that's the situation we have. But what then we did at the level of EXCO in trying to intervene in these situations, the Premier established a team of three MECs, wherein it was the MEC for COCTA, MEC Treasury, and MEC for COSATMA, of which continuously so we had engagements with all these municipalities and all these councillors. But unfortunately, we must indicate this, and when we convene these meetings, councillors who mainly are on the wrong side of the law would decide not to even attend these meetings, and would always talk to the ones who are trying their utmost best to bring the situations to stable in those municipalities. So obviously, if you talk to others and others decide not to attend the meetings, then you won't be able to finally then address the situation. On the issue of recycling of municipal failed municipal managers, we discussed this issue to a large extent, especially even when we were discussing whether the interventions of Section 1391B are assisting in municipalities. And it came to a point where we also had to then deal with the situation that to a large extent where we are not yielding fruit, it's on municipalities where we would have deployed a municipal manager who has failed somewhere and obviously would not make change as an administrator in a certain municipality. And EXCO resolved that situation would not happen anymore. And because this database that indeed was the advert came out and people applied, we are now able to then, from that database, then deploy people who we know that do not have cloud from wherever they served, either as municipal managers, either as CFOs, or in any senior position in a municipality. So that situation has been addressed, and the fact that also we are vetting those employees that we are taking to municipalities, they got to be vetted, and to a certain extent also get to be questioned around their understanding on local government. I must indicate there's a question that says, is there hope for change? We indeed are hoping that there will be change now that there's an amendment in terms of the Systems Act, which we obviously will then utilize in ensuring that we change the situation in municipalities. So of course, yes, we know that, and municipalities have also been raising the fact that an intervention that does not also come with some funding is also not assisting, which is a matter that I know that it has been on the table for discussion by the national government and ourselves to say, in a situation where a municipality is under distress and you deploy an administrator to run that municipality, obviously there's no enough financial resources, and obviously then would not be able to yield positive fruits even in that kind of a deployment. So a matter that I know that we've raised also at national level, and also it's been taken into consideration for a matter that must be discussed. We must also indicate that, for an example, in the Zobota local municipality, where the mayor had decided to appoint an acting municipal manager outside a council, when the understanding is clear that it is only council that appoints either the municipal manager or an acting municipal manager, we then, through the code of conduct of councillors, requested the municipal council to appoint a team and investigate that matter, which then the results were brought to COCTA, wherein it was very clear that indeed the mayor acted outside council, and we then reprimanded the mayor to then be able to understand that he is supposed to, as and when there's a position of the acting municipal manager or municipal manager, processes must be processed properly through council. I note the point that honorable member says have requested a report of 2015 and so forth. I think if we can then, honorable Funeral, engage separately so that I understand and make follow-ups on that, so that the honorable member is then able to get that report. In terms of issues of water and Vuhudi, as raised currently, we had established a war room on water because the province was meeting every day from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and we were able to then identify where there are challenges of water and then be able to address them as and when they come. But to a better extent, we must indicate that the authority therefore lies with the district municipalities, and district municipalities, we also assist them in ensuring that they intervene, because they are the ones that are getting your funding from the Department on Water and Sanitation in ensuring that they address water challenges. But we must indicate that, of course, we have a point where we experienced the serious challenge, and we then had to intervene by establishing a war room that was intervening on challenges of water. Thanks very much. I think those are the questions that I have noted. And if there's any other one that I have left out, I will be made aware to then come back and respond to that. Thanks very much.
Then that moves to Treasury, if there's anything.
No, thanks. Thank you, Honorable Chair. Chair, if you allow me, I would wish to switch off my video so that I'm able to get the network much clearer.
In fact, that's why we are also not visible. Slow chat.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, I think for Treasury, it's around issues of unfunded budgets. And I think Honorable Cesar went also to town just to question the support that has been provided by Treasury on issues of financial management and financial compliance. I must indicate, and the response that I'll be giving, I'll also giving it to responding also to what Honorable Direko had raised, and I think also Honorable Mpumza, on issues of unfunded budgets, but also lack of improvement or no improvement with regard to the support that we have provided. So I think MEC Mira has covered me on the issue of political instability, the challenges that instability, because we are a three-member team. I think last time I did indicate I'm part of the team, but part of the issues that she has indicated, as much as we see the challenges at the council level, the issue of conniving of councils, whether with the governing party and opposition parties. So there is that challenge. So, and these are areas that I think from COPTA's side, they have tried adequately to ensure that they start to engage. But we've been part of that collective. And we have done the report to EXCO, which was processed. And also MEC Mecha is competent enough to also give more details. Let's get to the issue of unfunded budgets. Honorable members, the challenges of unfunded budgets started in the 2015-16 financial year. They didn't start yesterday. And over time, municipalities have continuously been giving reports, assessments by provincial treasurer at the time. Now I'm the successor in title, I agree, where they have ensured that they provide that support. I know that at the time, even provincial treasurer then also seconded experts just to provide that support and assist the municipality. But there's not been any progress until municipalities have reached a point whereby actually it calls for mandatory intervention where the financial recovery plan has to be in place. And remember, honorable members, at that time also, financial recovery plan was developed. I can make an example in my debate. It was developed internally through the processes because legislation allows that, but it has not been adequately implemented. In Tuaying, financial recovery was developed. And I know that in 2019, when I came in, there was that financial recovery, which was never adequately implemented. Because part of the challenges on honorable members is councils employ officials that are not up to the task, who are not qualified. That's why you are sitting, even in councils, you go to Madibe, structures are bloated, and people that are in those structures, which were employed in the previous administration, honorable chair, it's people who had employees that actually were not actually, they don't even, there's no entry, they are not equipped. They don't have skills to respond to the challenges that are confronted in terms of implementing a service delivery program. You go to the same thing. Actually, what is worse, Tsobata now recently, even they are continuing with the challenges that they have on unfunded budgets. They continue to employ officials that there's no structure. They are not in the structure. The staff establishment is bloated, but it's not people that are skilled. So those are the challenges that we have, that as much as we provide that support to municipalities, to administration, with the training that we are giving them, they'll continue to have those challenges because there's no transfer of skills even if you are there to provide that support. We have done in 2020, Chair, we have done an audit within the BTO offices across the province, all the municipalities. We've done an analysis of the skills that we have within those BTOs, your budget and treasury offices. And what we are doing here on quarterly, on midterm basis, when we have the midterm engagements with municipalities, before the MM tables, the adjustment budget, what we do is an administrative process, but we've now elevated that process at the political level, whereby we want the mayor, the speaker, the whip of council, the MMC for infrastructure, MX, and all the mayoral committee members or members of EXCO to form part of this engagement. Because what we are deliberated treasury to that at a political level, because we want the mayor to start to realize that even the Section 71 report that he or she tables, he or she needs to scrutinize. The mayor must scrutinize that report before he tables that report, as it is processed by the executive committee, mayoral committee, or the executive committee. They need to scrutinize that report so that they start to realize the gaps that are in the report before the report is being tabled in council, so that they are able to hold the MM and the senior managers accountable in respect of the report that they've done. And with the Section 71 report, so that we provide that support. That's why in this new administration, after the elections, we have deliberated, we've worked together with SALGA and COCTA. We have done training also to make sure that our MPECs are able to do their oversight over council in terms of the report that they table and follow through issues that needs to be followed through in terms of investigations. That's why we have did the M-Squad training. With Sarah, we have spent 5 days, 3 to 5 days with the municipalities, making sure that they understand the M-Squad system so that they start to tease out gray areas and things that need to be followed up. And they can be able to hold the councils responsible, especially administration. Now we are going to the second phase because executive mayors, especially the chairperson of SALGA, raised that, but we would also want to have that training as a mayor. So we are going to have the next phase that will be training. We've done the MPECs, we have done the training with the to MMCs of finance or chairs of finance in the council. So we've done that support training. So in 2019, we've done a very rigorous training. We've even taken employees of municipalities. We are running it's a learnership program whereby we capacitate supply chain and to officials. All municipalities I think it's either two or three officials that we are running that program together with National Treasury. They have concluded the training. I think the graduation, if I'm not mistaken, is next month, around issues of supply chain management. We have provided support, Honorable Chair, on issues of contract management. And the new mayors, they are aware that we've also given them certificates in terms of the work that we've done in the previous administration with that with the various municipalities in assisting them on issues of contract management. Even on unfunded budgets, when these new councils, after they were inaugurated, part of the induction program that we did was to take them through these challenges of unfunded budgets. And what caused the delay, Chair, is because the interpretation of Section 139 in its own entirety is problematic, because now the new councils who believe that we want to take powers for them, and they didn't see it in a context of support. Because in the Constitution, the way it is defined, as a mandatory intervention. Now, councillors, as we engage them to say that what we are inheriting as a new administration, the sixth administration, the state of administration in terms of your council that you are leading at the political level, this is the status. We gave them the report, the assessment, the status quo of municipalities. This is where you are, and now where you are would need to provide this support through a mandatory intervention where we work together with COCSTAR. We've engaged several times with councillors, Honorable Chair, but there's been discomfort until we went to engage with SALGA. And I think through the SALGA engagement, that's where SALGA started to realize the challenges that are confronting municipalities. Of course, some of the municipalities started to embrace the challenges of unfunded budgets, and they realized that adopting an unfunded budget, which they have and table the recovery and plan, the financial plan as well, which actually speaks to this is how we're going to make sure that the projects are implemented with this financial plan so that the unfunded budget doesn't create a problem for us in providing services. And there's not been successes in respect of that. And we've been very patient, Honorable Chair. We went on a roadshow after the Deputy Minister for COPTA, Honorable Bapela, and Deputy Minister Dr. Masondo did their engagements 2 years ago with the previous administration. Now with the new administration, we went and with National Treasury, with National COPTA and COXTA and SALGA, we went municipality by municipality to take them through the induction so that they start to understand and start to actually interpret intervention of Section 139 is on entirety properly. Your discretionary and your mandatory, because discretionary is when you have all those challenges in terms of meeting your obligations. But once the municipality is in a financial crisis, that's where you realize that now you need to implement your financial recovery plan, and you do it internally first. Once you fail, once you're at a point whereby you can't even provide basic service to the communities, that's where a mandatory intervention kicks in, and that's when you read it in line with the Chapter 13 of the MSMA. And I know that Honorable Kaza is speaking about ticking boxes. We have not ticked boxes. As Provincial Treasurer, Honorable Kaza, we can demonstrate the work that we've done and all the assessment, status quo assessment that we've done with municipalities at whatever moment, especially during midterm. We have now, with these new councillors, we have given each and every member in the council who was conferred, the speaker, the mayor, the whip of council, the MMC or the chair of finance, even the MPEG chairperson, we have given them those copies of the reports of the status quo. And actually, even the MM knows that he's expected to table that report in council so that all councillors are well informed of what is happening within their council. They assist with the status quo report, which has been submitted by Provincial Treasurer. Just to ensure that we follow through all these issues, Honorable Chair, that is why in terms of our organizational structure as Provincial Treasurer in the Northwest Province, we have then reworked our organizational structure, which was approved by the DPSA. We have now appointed district directors so that we have a director which are with us for three officials for now. And then we have we are giving support to all municipalities. Even if we've given those status quo reports, we follow through those status quo reports. We make sure that they implement them. But yeah, the reality is in the PTO office, there's no capacity. We can't run away from that reality. There is no capacity, and it's as a result of the decisions that are made by our own management in council, which is not held accountable by our own councillors. And across the board, not councillors of the ruling party, across the board, council itself, the MMs that they appoint, the senior managers that they appoint, who are not able to take charge at a strategic level and hold officials accountable, who needs to be good as are expected to provide basic services to the communities. We are sitting in the BTOs where people don't even, the person who is supposed, we are expecting to do asset management, does not have qualifications. He's not trained, but even if you want to put a team of experts, we want to work very hard to transfer the skills, it's still difficult to do so. But we are not giving up, Chair. We're not giving up. As Treasury now, we are even looking at running another level of learnership programs, where we say that let us look at how do we start to do from the report that we have on the BTO capacity. What other programs can we do to make sure that we continue to support? What we've done, we've even seconded. Makosani is sitting with a CFO that has been seconded. This year we seconded Makosani, the CFO, to go and assist in the municipality. We are seconding CFOs from one point to the other when there are challenges. In Swahili, we have seconded about 6 officials, Chair, in the last 2 to 3 months, just to get to the system of accountability and of accounting from a financial management point of view, the whole value chain, Chair, to provide the support. We did that in Mamusa, Chair, last year. We have seconded the same team, I think around 7 members in Mamusa. But what happened in Mamusa? Our own council's instability collapsed the system. And with the gains that we had made at the time have collapsed. In the new administration, you are sitting with council chair that connive and do as they please in Mamusa, and they don't even want to. They have even appointed a CFO who's not qualified because of the suspension of the other CFO. Even the MM then, at the time, before the MM that the MEC had seconded at the municipality, that MM was not qualified as an acting MM. And this is council's resolution. This is what the decision that have been made by councillors in council. Now, when we are in, when they're in council, we are not there, Chair. We provide support. We give them, and where they're with their concerns, we do write letters, and we can give evidence, Chair. In trying, Chair, we raised the concern of the appointment of the MM. We have raised it with SALGA, and SALGA has acted on that in Zwayi. The issues that have been raised in terms of the process that has been followed, they have been raised in provincial treasury, and we have raised them with SALGA. And I'm happy that the SALGA chair was outright and truly, and even wrote a letter to the MEC as well as to the mayor chair. So from our side, Chair, we are not giving up, and we are not going to relent, Chair. And we appreciate the criticism and the concerns that are raised by honorable members. But we will continue to make sure that we tighten the belt. Where there are grey errors, Chair, we'll make sure that those grey errors are dealt with. But we do have a deliberate program, Chair, and that is why we've moved the midterm assessment, which has been administrative. I have elevated that level at the political level, and whereby as the MSMA unit and the HOD invite the MM and the team, we go there at the political level, and I extend invitation to the mayor, to the troika of the municipality, the MMC responsible for finance, all the MSMA exco and the mayoral committee members or exco members, as well as the MPEC chair. And now, Chair, part of the support that we're providing as provincial treasurer, when MPEC committee sits, we've started to replicate the program of the, like what the legislators do, the principles where the AG would come and brief the portfolio committee, the MPEC standing committee before engagement with the departments of municipalities. We have then said, we'll come in, they must give, municipalities must give us, MPEC committees must give us their schedules of meetings. So that before they sit to engage with the council, with the ex-com, mayoral committee members, or portfolios, we can do the briefing with the MPEC committee so that they know the issues that they need to follow through in terms of the areas of accountability, in where there's non-compliance, where there's issues or contravention of the MSMA and so forth. So this is part of the program that we have. We are now doing to provide that support. I must indicate that most municipalities now, as they realize the importance of the implications of the unfunded adoption of the unfunded budget, they've now accepted, and they've acceded to recently that I think we need to go the route of the mandatory intervention, and we need to implement the financial recovery plan. And that took us time, Honorable Chair. It took us time for us to be able to be where we are. And I think the induction has worked. And that is why we're able to do induction in all the municipalities except for Mahikian, because Mahikian is a non-delegated municipality. So the deputy minister will have to form part of that. But also they still continuously need to be monitored, because municipalities, as and when they agree, there's always those a slow way of doing it. What we did now, Chair, to avoid that, we send people that have no credibility. We have, in the last 3 months, we then decided, you know, just for us to be on the safe side, let us work on a model that follows the Lekwa intervention in Mpumalanga on the section 1395, where we found, remember, that was done through a court judgment. And then we said that let's follow that route of making sure that we get a database of people who are credible, people who have expertise, and people that will hold accountable as and when we take them to this municipality to go and provide that support in implementation of the financial recovery plan. We are at the stage of concluding that process, and that process, once it's concluded, will work together with COGSTA, together with SALGA, to make sure that those you are not going to pick people just around, say he was a former MM, would have to be rigorous in terms of compliance and this. So these are people that are credible and they are able to take, will be able to turn the situation around. And I have confidence, Honorable Jireko, that I think that with the model that we are bringing, because Section 1395 on the financial recovery plan, it's a new game changer in the local sphere of government in terms of support and intervention. Actually, in the context of, in the definitions of the legislation, it's written intervention, mandatory intervention. But if you look at it on how it, we have packaged it, it's a support program that seeks to make sure that the financial recovery plan are implemented and therefore municipalities start to move out of the quagmire where they are and they are able to adopt the funded budget. And also in that process, we'll be able to look into issues of capacity building. And that's how we'll be moving as provincial treasury, working together with SALGA, because on capacity training programs, we've been working very closely with SALGA to make sure that at least SALGA leads the process and provide that support. But we identify areas of capacity and areas where we need to close gaps in terms of making sure that councils are able to hold administration accountable. Now, you can't hold anyone accountable that you know that when you appointed him, he was not up to the task. He was not, he did not qualify for this position. It becomes very difficult. So that's where we need to start to clean the process with these new councils that are in. Now, with the new councils, for example, in Ditsobota, they've already started to do things that is, has compromised the whole process. And hence, actually, even the dissolution today in Ditsobota, because of the challenges of the MM. The MM, where there's a court order that he does not qualify to be an MM. He cannot be an acting MM. He cannot be appointed as an acting MM. And that MM proceeded to do things that an appointed people appointed contractors irregularly, and it has caused serious collusion. And even those contradictions, the fights that are in this water, especially on the security company, you go there, Chair, you realize that members of councils, both governing and opposition party members, they are fighting over a kitchen of the municipality in who appoints and whose companies that these companies are allied to so and so and so forth. So those are the challenges that are confronting us in Ditsobota. And then I think the dissolution is informed by, we have had rigorous engagements with municipalities through the team that MEC Mega has spoken about. I'm part of that team. And I can tell you, Chair, some of these councillors don't come to this meeting. In Moses Kotane, Chair, we had an engagement in Moses Kotane. What is where some of the councillors left our engagement. They just left. They came in and as we were having conversation and trying to get and the context of the challenges of the municipality, some of these councillors just left. And these are challenges that we are having in municipalities. So I'm just citing few examples, Chair, you, but I must indicate that from Treasury point of view, we are committed, we continue to provide that support. And that is why as and when we move with the status quo assessment on unfunded budgets, Chair, we make sure that we don't want to do any mistake. And hence, we are at the point we said, whoever that we sent into the municipality must be qualified, must have the expertise, and we are not going to work on the issue that, hey, we know so-and-so from, no. Let us create that database, that provincial reps, ex-co reps that are sent there to implement the recovery plan are also being approved through the national treasury process, because national treasury is also involved, because by legislation, the Minister of Finance is the custodian of the financial recovery plan. So we are doing that. Hence, the Section 1395 of the Constitution now is delegated to the MEC for Finance to ensure that it is implemented. But with this implementation, we are very cautious because this is a new game changer for all of us. And we need to do what is right. We need to make sure that we don't find ourselves repeating or deepening the crisis in municipalities unnecessarily. So let me pause at that. And then if there's any other issue, say, I would try to get back if there's follow-up. But we can provide even portfolio of evidence on the work that we've done in the last 3 years, Chair. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, honorable members. We are coming to the end of the session. If there are any follow-ups, I'll take those hands. Um, Okay, I see one. Honorable Matumba, Honorable Teza. Yeah, let's take those. Honorable Matumba.
Thanks, Chair. I will advise that the municipalities must, if they at all cost, they must move away from water tankers contract because they are inviting more gangsters. And currently they can see that water tankers contracts are giving them more problem again. Again, the question of gangsters was not answered, and it is coming in reports of two municipalities. We want to understand, what do they really mean that they are having problem of gangsters in municipalities, in council? Because we are not a lawlessness country. We can't be having a report of saying there are gangsters, Chair, and we don't do anything about it. So we want to know, what do they mean there are gangsters in council, gangsters that are giving orders to members of council? There is a debt there owed by departments to Mahikeng. That one is clear. The municipality of Mahikeng must go and switch off services of those departments. They will pay. There's no negotiation. Why the municipality is able to switch off for members of the community and then it must negotiate with departments? The negotiations must come after switching off, that for us to reconnect, you must pay us this much. I'm reading there in a report where money to pay some contractor was taken from equitable share of the municipality. So why the same can't be done to departments who are owing this municipality? And then the issue of acting municipal manager. We must follow the law. The acting municipality manager must act for 3 months. And when you put an acting municipal manager, there must be timelines of saying this is, there must be a recruitment timeline to say we put in the acting municipal manager. This is the recruitment timeline where the municipal manager is going to be hired. We can't just employ the acting municipal manager and that's it. There's nothing that has been done to employ a full-time municipal manager. Then MEC of Cogsta, you know, I understand your frustration on the matter, and really we can't use legislation to deal with political infighting. It's that one. We really need political leadership to come on board and deal with their councillors. Because, I mean, this legislation doesn't give the municipalities and your departments much to intervene. That was the same thing that was discussed in our workshop with Salga, that the municipalities will then say, no, our independence to run our own affairs. So political leadership must come on board. I can guarantee you, if you are to report our councillors as EFF and say, these councillors are not coming to the meeting, we will act there and there. We can have in our report here, worrying about councillors that are not coming to work and we are paying them. It cannot be. Something needs to be done because they are showing management that this thing can be done. Even these gangsters we are worried about. These gangsters, they say so corruption taking place in municipalities and nothing happening. And they say to themselves, no, us as criminals, we can do it better. Then they form gangsters. Now they are terrorizing municipalities because they know that you can have tenders fraudulently and nothing is going to be done. MM will be shifted from this municipality and go and work on the other municipality and do the same thing. As to politicians, nothing is going to happen. So we need to start to act on politicians at all costs. Politicians must know their duties and the consequences of failures to do their own duties. Because we can have council not reaching quorum because councillors decided we are not going to attend that thing. No, it cannot be. Thanks, you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Kweza.
Thank you very much, Chair. My question on the time frames and the
unknown caller.
Sorry about that. My question on the time frame that we were given here was not adequately answered, Chair, because I said that it's well and good to put time frames, but it's also good to tell the committee as to what would inform positive outcomes as a result of that time frame. What informs that time frame is very important for the committee so that we know how these decisions are made in the first place and what scientific analysis was put on such time frames so that we don't come back here and still talk about unresolved matters of municipalities as it pertains to. And some of the issues are covered by Honorable Matumba. The last one, Chair, is just to get a sense of how many of those municipalities are heading for Section 139.1C, given the dysfunctionality and the instability of those municipalities, and hence not able to discharge on their functions. Thank you so much, Chair.
Honorable Direko.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies because I'm having a connectivity challenges where I am. So I had to move to a place where I'll be able to access the network. Some of the responses I did not hear. However, Chair, based on the presentation that we have received, it shows that Northwest has a serious problem which needs our urgent intervention. So I will request that in our program of the committee, we should call these municipalities one by one so that they come and account for themselves on the situation that the municipality found itself in. And secondly, Chair, it can't be that we are told that councillors are not doing their work, but yet they're still receiving the salaries. Why are they receiving the salaries while they're not doing their work? So the accounting officers of these municipalities, including the provincial co-opter, should also have a look at that matter. It can be that people decide not to go to council, not to do what they have been elected for, and yet we are compensating them for non-performance. So, and also, seconding what Honorable Kweza has just indicated, how many municipalities which they feel that should be disbanded and what are the time frames on that decision if they are going to take that decision? Thank you, Chair.
Oh, I've muted myself. Let me repeat, allow the Northwest government to deal with the follow-ups. Honorable MSC Coxter. Honorable MEC Hosho.
No, thanks, sir. I think MEC Coxa, I can see that she just sent me an SMS now, a WhatsApp.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe just we've only dissolved in terms of the report that we have. We've only dissolved it over the municipality. And then we have invoked Section 139. 1B in Kagisano Molopo. Those are the two municipalities, Chair, that for now that we have invoked the discretionary intervention. However, Chair, in terms of our presentation, if we go into our presentation, Chair, we are indicating manufacturers that are in financial distress. And then you have your mandatory intervention, which will deal with financial recovery plan. And then your Mamusa is part, your Tswayeng is part, your Mahikeng is part, Dr. Rutsho Kgomotso Mphathi District, Naledi is part, Lekwa, it's as per directive of National Treasury with the minister's letter. So those are the municipalities that we are going to support with financial recovery plans, which at the moment they are in, they have financial challenges in terms of adopting the unfunded budgets, like we indicated. But for dissolution as asked, it's only the Sobota honorable members. And then in Kagisano Molopo, it is section 1391B that has been invoked. I know that myself and MEC were supposed to go there. Actually, MEC was supposed to go there, but I was going to go there on another responsibility in terms of community involvement. So those are the two municipalities said, but it's only one that is dissolved. We can't premeditate dissolution of councils. We must be informed by the material conditions, but also compliance in respect of what that needs to be done in giving our communities services. In Jitobota, we had no choice but to go the route of dissolution because we are...
Mr. Dilibal, can I borrow them? I don't know if MMO or President Damoro of it.
Hey, Honorable Deputy Minister Papela, must mute now. Who can phone him?
No, thank you. No, thanks, Chair. I'm just indicating that in this Sobota, we had the challenges of also the account, the municipal account, because we were sitting with two MMs. Oh, we therefore, as provincial treasury, requested national treasury to withhold the equitable share, because we could not just allow irregular processes to be to unfold where you are sitting. We didn't even know who's the MM, who's the administrator in terms of that. But that has led to many other issues, because it's over that since its inception, there's been all those challenges, which MEC Mira had indicated. Hence, we had to conclude as Executive Council of Northwest that we need to dissolve that municipality and get the systems right, but also go to administrative challenges, because the challenge is that you are sitting with a public protector's report. Public protector's report that councillors are refusing to implement it. And actually, that public protector's report even implicates former councillors in terms of the findings of the public protector's report. There's an SIU report that even council is refusing to implement that report. There's been continuous irregular appointments, bloating of the structures. We are not able to provide services through this over municipality to our communities. Hence the conclusion of the dissolution of that. So just to cut the story short, it's only this over Tata, and then Kagisano Molopo is 1391B. Thank you, Chair.
Recording in progress.
I'm done, Chair, on behalf of MEC Mira.
Okay. No, it's okay. I'm saying then after the response now to the follow-up, I think all we can is just to indicate that we suspect that everybody is getting frustrated with the situation of municipalities for now, because we are talking to Northwest. Now, as members of parliament, We only pass the laws, and we expect the laws to be implemented by all. When I say by all, the three spheres of government, and by implication, the people themselves across the country. So anybody, because I can pick this sense, maybe one message that must be sent out is to say, there's no way that we can allow a situation where there's no accountability for what we said we will do. We are accounting to the people, and by implication, those who are public representatives. They are the ones who must ensure that everybody who has been given responsibility is ready to account. In this case, we must start with, because the executives are in the three spheres of government, we must start with councils. So I agree with the Honorable Director to say we'll have to call municipalities now as part of our second responsibility, that of making sure that the laws that get passed in Parliament are executed by everybody. So I think we agree with that, because now the convening of municipalities, we're not very sure who to talk to. I think let's be specific now. We must talk directly to where there's a problem, if we suspect there's a problem, and somebody must prove us that there's no problem. Start with municipalities, and even there, there's a phase there. Whilst the council has got executive powers, they get delegated to the mayor, the accounting office. So even before we engage the whole council, I think we must engage with these mayors, of course, accompanied by portfolio committees at the level of provinces, of course, them accompanied by the executives at the level of the province and national. In fact, we want to strengthen this partnership, this tripartite arrangement or partnership at the level of the province, treasury and COCTA. At the level of national, COCTA and treasury. So that in the cases like this Mahike, you don't have to think now that you must call national treasury separate. No, we don't have to do that. So councils, mayors, accounting officers will have to account for the execution of the laws of the country. Now, this issue of interpretation of Section 139. I once attended a meeting with Madiba, who said, he called us, said he wants an explanation as to why certain things were not happening. And in our response, he clarified us that we are now giving excuses. We are not giving the explanation, because the purpose of a Section 139 is to intervene on behalf of the people. So you can't now, all of a sudden, you are engaged by those who are supposed, given by the Constitution, who are supposed to take charge of what is happening in the area. And now all of a sudden, it's subject to interpretation. So I suspect even that one, it would require a decision. I think the political instability that we talked about, I'm sure Northwest has started to say, this is how we are looking at this, that a tripartite arrangement of MECs. And I think out of the discussion as well, there's addition of political parties who must actually do their work as well. Because political parties are not formed to disrupt the delivery of services to people. So even there, moving from that tripartite arrangement, which I think a government is trying to help itself to understand this anima. Now, I think from here, you got an undertaking from political parties to say, let this be raised with them, where the problems are caused by their political parties or by political members. It is correct. The public, if we were to tell the public, they would ask us that question. Are you paying those people? If we say we pay, with whose money? It is their money. So I suspect one message we can send is to say, let's implement the law, starting with the Constitution. I think all of us, there's some agreement to say there are some amendments to the past legislation, and there are some laws that have just been passed. I'm sure the intention is to plug the gaps that we see in what we are doing. If they are not effective as yet, it doesn't stop us from educating everybody to say the reason why you have got this piece of legislation that says this. In other words, people must get used to that, because a message has been sent out, and whatever effective date, that date should not be abused for people not to do what is right, because the law itself is based on what we believe is correct. It will service the people. So that is that. One other, in fact, we keep on saying this one, for the delegation from the National Department of COCTA. That monetary and evaluation bill that we have been waiting for, it would close some of the gaps that we see here. So we will now begin to demand that. I know we are parliament, we are supposed to make laws, but they get initiated elsewhere. So we must keep on getting briefings as to what is holding us not to have that law coming into the process to help us to deal with some of this. With this, I think it does give us a way forward. I would suggest actually that we have looked at the plans. We have looked at the situation as well, where you come from 2016. There is a little hope and some light that we can see, though it might be slow. And I can pick a sense that whilst we might be latecomers, whilst you might be frustrated, but there are good attempts that are being made. And the areas where we need to emphasize, where we must protect public funds in order for us to deliver services, we must plug the holes of those who want to steal from the government, steal from the people. We must close we must plug those holes. Now, if they become gangsters, I'm sure would be sending a very wrong message if we were to succumb to gangsters in government. So that question that begins to say, you can't complain and say we are forced to do wrong things when there is law enforcement. There are law enforcement agencies across the country. And if you know that when you are going to have a meeting, you go to the meeting because you are being pushed by gangsters. No, no. I think that must be stopped. And there are facilities to stop that. So whilst we were listening to it during the local government week, whilst we are getting it directly from some councillors, and some councillors get killed, we are saying all those must come to an end. and the responsible departments will have to engage them to make sure that we stop this. We can't allow our country to be a state in a state of anarchy. So let's stop that. But I'm saying there's something positive. Anything that is looked at, monitored, measured, obviously we expect progress. And I think we do see, when we talk about each municipality, hence I agree with the whip of the committee, that from now on, we must zoom directly to municipalities. In fact, in terms of the law, the people we are oversighting is the minister and the department. But we expect the minister and the department to oversight municipalities. They report to us. If we are not, even if we are happy with the reports, we go to verify, confirm physically those municipalities. The constitution allow us to do that. So hence I'm saying we might want to go there, but as we go there, we'll not leave behind the departments, whether at national level or at the level of the province. But if we minimize that by doing our work, there will be no need for us to be dealing with 257 municipalities in the whole country. With those many words, I'm trying to encourage all of us to do our work so that there's nobody. Our program is quite tight in Parliament, so but it is also supposed to be tight in doing oversight. But if people do their work, it would help us. If MPECs, as indicated, might be empowered, even given the tools of trade, and do their work the best they are supposed to do, it will also help us as the portfolio committee of cooperative governance and traditional affairs in the National Assembly. With those many words, thank you very much. I think the session was fruitful. We have learned a number of things. Yabule. Meeting is adjourned.
Amago, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, members. Thank you,
Chairperson.
Bye-bye.
Bye.